Lopa clings, but Shanta is the moment when there is the intention to do good deeds.
And the intention to do good deeds can also be accompanied by akusala.
It depends. That's why it needs the very precise panya to understand whether it is lopa or it is.
I can't understand the intention to do good deeds being accompanied by akusala.
Some people would like to give things away for their sake, but not for the other's sake.
But then it's not a good deed, is it?
Even it is, but it's for one's sake.
Not for the other's. It's a good deed to give away. The intention to do something which one thinks is good.
But when there's panya, there's only chanta.
When you really would like to understand reality, there must be chanta, not lopa. What is the purpose of understanding reality? To have less lopa.
So but sometimes it seems like you're enjoying and learning so much,
yes,
enjoying
panya. That is lopa. That is lopa then. Yeah.
So it depends. It's a different moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It depends on when you feel like uncomfortable if you are disturbed by the others, even while you are reading Tipitaka. It shows that at that moment you cling to reading. Because it can condition the unpleasant feeling later.
In my experience, most of the time, even when one's sitting having pleasant Dharma discussion like this or helping others try to understand the Dharma, many more moments of akusala than kusala, for sure.
But still, whenever there's panya, there cannot be any lopa.
What you might take for lopa is chanda.
When there's enjoyment to perform, it's chanda, no?
When there is
clinging, then it's lopa. It's a different moment. But you can't mix them together, you know, because sometimes you might feel that you want to do something that's nice and you might think that's lopa, but it's not. It is chanda.
Kusala deeds. What would you like or what would you prefer? Writing or reading or discussing?
For kusala deeds.
Writing, reading, discussing, considering?
I don't know. Reading or discussing?
With chanda, see.
And with writing?
Chanda. Even it's kusala, but there is chanda for reading, there is chanda for writing.
And sometimes, can that be greater than lopa?
It depends. We cannot tell.
If I'm riding a train, and looking out the window, and noticing what's going by, and think, oh, these are only... This is only seeing I visual object and thinking about it. And I can't pinpoint each place or step in the process, but if I'm doing that, is that considering? Is that consideration of the Dhamma? If I think about it and think, oh, this is only aramanna and eye contact and I'm losing the Pali words I want to use.
A level of understanding, it begins to consider reality which appears, but not the moment of being aware of a characteristic at a time.
That's not the moment of being aware of a character. That happened before, if it happened.
It's the level of considering Dhamma.
And the level of considering the Dhamma happens after?
Even right now, we always hear about the visible object. Because now there is seeing, so the object which is seen is a reality which is visible. By understanding this little by little, it conditions more and more understanding that there is no body in this room. But when there is no time at all to consider this as visible object only, then any time one says it's something, someone all the time. So one knows how to begin to develop right understanding little by little, because there is now visible object which is seen by understanding that it is a reality which is seen, no one at all. This is the beginning of developing to see reality which is seen as a reality.
And taking the rupa that is impinging on the eye sense.
You don't have to think like that.
Don't even have to think like that.
It's just thinking about it.
Thinking about it is the considering, I thought.
But it doesn't bring about the understanding of the visible object as visible object.
I thought considering does bring about the understanding.
By knowing. When one says considering, it means that there is some understanding that this is only visible object, and we don't have to say in mind either.
And the considering the panyati.
We don't have any word. When Buddha became enlightened, there was no word at all. But after that.
Though when the awareness happens, when panya arises, there is no concept.
But there can be thinking in between.
Thinking after, before, or in between moments of panya. Yeah. But when there is panya, there is no concept.
That's why panya must be very precise, very sharp to know what moment is thinking of concept and what moment is studying or beginning to understand reality.
How do we develop panya?
It's not the matter of how, because panya can develop by learning, developing more and more understanding only. Not by how, not by sitting, not by walking, not by counting anything, but by understanding, developing understanding. So it's not the matter of how, but the matter of how much one understand reality at this moment.
And there's no way to control the development of the understanding.
Anathanas.
Ajahn, then there can be a moment when there could be sati, when there is knowing of a moment that arises. And it's very fleeting, and then there's thinking about that moment afterwards. Is that different to just thinking about moments when there's no experience of them?
Thinking or considering Dhamma anytime by conditions. But when our reality is appearing right now, and there is the development of understanding,
that is that moment.
Which is aware already. Without awareness, there is not the moment of understanding visible object as visible object. Or seeing as seeing.
Thinking about awareness of realities is different from awareness of realities. And the thinking about the awareness of realities, thinking this is nama, that is rupa, does not condition future awareness. Is this correct?
Use Pali term.
Okay.
Sati is awareness.
Okay.
Is there sati right now when there is understanding, even intellectually?
If there's understanding, there is sati.
There is sati at level of intellectual understanding. So sati has to develop too. Not just having only the intellectual understanding or considering or thinking about the story of nama and rupa, because that is not the moment of being aware.
Yes, okay.
But the moment of being aware is different, because it's not the word or the thought about term that it is rupa or it is nama which experiences, but there is the awareness to develop the understanding of that characteristic which is now experiencing hardness.
Could you say that one more time?
I just talk about the different stages of sati.
Is there mundane sati and supramundane sati?
Certainly, but such far.
Yeah, of course, far away.
But you see that now, if one does not understand the kusala citta, that there must be sati even at moment of understanding intellectually about reality right now, that is a level of sati. But sati should grow, and it has to grow in order to be able to know exactly the reality that we have talked about. For example, we have talked about citta, the characteristic of citta, the characteristic of cetasika, but it's only the story of citta and cetasika, not the characteristic of any citta and cetasika at all.
And that can only be known by panya.
While the citta and cetasika keep on arising and falling away by conditions. So it needs another level of sati, not just intellectual sati. The sati which is aware and develop the understanding that one has heard about the characteristic of nama and rupa. For example, the citta, whenever it arises, it's the mental element which must experience an object. It cannot just arise without experiencing anything at all. Citta and cetasika arises and experience something. So at moment of touching, no you, no I, but there is the mental phenomena of citta, cetasika, which arise, perform their functions, and citta experiences the quality of hardness that we don't have to say whether it's as hard as rock or as hard as earth, but the hardness is there. And citta experiences. So the development of understanding is what one has heard before intellectually, and now it's there. By developing understanding that the characteristic of reality which can experience is there, because it is experiencing hardness through body. We don't have to say through what doorway, but as soon as citta arises, it experiences an object. So by knowing that we do not miss or lose any citta at all from moment of birth up to now, so there can be any moment of awareness of a reality. It doesn't mean that when we study the teaching, then we go away and find out the place to look for citta and cetasika, because there are cittas and cetasikas all the time, arising and falling away, and also rupa. So the understanding of the development of satipatthana is that sati is not concentration, it's not samadhi, and it's not the other cetasikas, which has different functions, because the function of sati is just be aware of a reality which has conditions for their arising. It can be through eyes or ears or nose or tongue or body or mind. So now realities are ready for sati to be aware of any time, but not the same one, because all realities arise and falls away in split second. So it doesn't matter at all which one is fallen away completely. Anyone which appears can be the object of panya, because when one says that it is right understanding of panya, panya must have right understanding of reality as it is, not as one
wants it to be.
Yeah.
A citta is arising constantly from birth to death, throughout our life. A citta always arises to experience aramana.
Right.
Well, except for Bhavanga citta.
Any moment when citta arises, it must experience
what
an
is,
object.
What is Bhavanga citta experiencing? I don't need to know this.
Not the object of this world.
Yeah, okay. That's enough.
Because you see that even right now, there must be Bhavanga in between the processes.
Yes.
So when there is nothing appearing, it's Bhavanga. And then you understand the meaning of ayatana. Because imagine the moment when there is nothing at all, nothing appearing, but there is the reality which experiences. It doesn't mean that there is no you at all at that moment, but there is no idea what it is, what kind of citta it is, but it's there. So at that moment, rupa does not appear through eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and body. But when sound appears, it's so amazing. How can sound, a reality which is unseen but can appear, see? Or the taste is unseen but it can appear by citta, which can experience the taste. So whenever citta arises and has different object from the object of Bhavanga, one can understand what is meant by ayatana. There must be the reality that the object can impinge, like sound can impinge, and then the citta can experience that one which impinged, not the other one. So one can understand the process and the tattu and the ayatana and whatever is taught by the Buddha by experiencing, not by only studying, considering, and doesn't know the reality of this moment at all.
If anything happens, it only happens in this moment.
If there is not this moment, where is life?
Right. There isn't anything but.
No, nothing at all.
Never will be.
Mm-hmm. Even the rupa has conditions for its arising, but without the element which experiencing it.
We wouldn't know this.
Yeah. What's the use? The sound in the forest.
That would be before the rupa, the Brahma.
Anywhere.
Yeah,
anywhere.
With no citta, there's nothing to experience it.
The rupa cannot experience. It does not know anything at all from head to toe. And it seems like we still have lungs and eyes and ears and everything. But in reality, the rupa, which does not appear, has arisen and fallen away already. There is only the idea left that I still have my teeth, my lung, my feet. So we reduce the whole body into just a particle, which citta experiences through a specific doorway. Just that. So one can understand what's meant by no one, no body, only realities arising and falling away.
The particle you just mentioned, that's the meeting of the aramana of rupa and citta. Is that what you meant by particle?
When we talk about the rupa, it seems like so very solid, like iron or wood. But how fragile it is when it comes to an atom with spaces in between. So that is true to panya, which can experience the arising and falling away. But there can be the understanding intellectually too that whatever appears must arise. For example, this table, when there is no understanding of the arising and falling away and the absolute reality of the object, there is the idea that this table stays all the time. But as soon as there is touching, who can know that it has to arise, otherwise there can be no touching of the solidity at all? Even the arising of solidity can be directly experienced, but by the developed panya.
Solidity is not arising until citta...
It arises and falls away all the time.
All the time.
By conditions.
Even in places where citta is not.
By conditions, yeah. So nothing which is conditioned arise does not fall away.
Well, this is the classic, does a tree that falls in the forest make a sound if there's no one there to hear it kind of a thing. And at least in the Majjhimika Prasangika school, in my training is you can't make any meaningful statement about any rupas unless there is awareness of them combined with their conditional arising. So to say that a table exists, you can't say that a table exists apart from the mind cognizing that table existing.
Citta cognizing
the table, in other words.
The way I understand it, you don't have two strings of citta. They don't branch.
Okay, Kunsuchin, then what is the definition of the manodvaravajana citta? How many times does that advert to various
One
processes?
At a time. No matter how many times, it arises one at a time.
But that happens a million times a
yeah,
second,
but
right?
One at a time. There cannot be two jittas arising simultaneously.
We don't have to think about how many times, because all that matters is the one reality that is appearing now, which can be the object of awareness. So we don't have to think of it so many billion times. How does it help us to understand more about the reality that's appearing now?
Okay,
but
I guess
the reason he's thinking that is what he's saying is that the jitta is aware of things throughout the whole body that we're not aware of because it's happening so fast.
It's just that when Jonathan said that you're not aware of the back of your head, well, how many millions of chittas are happening per second? One of those chittas might be aware of hair follicle in
how,
there.
However
kind of
brief
thing, right?
It is, it's still just the one chitta. Our life, everything we find so important, exists just in this one chitta. So if at this moment it's seeing, however short or minuscule,
right,
that's all that exists.
Right, but we may not be consciously aware of that at the time that it's happening, correct?
There may not be any awareness of it.
It's like you're very involved in some task and you accidentally cut yourself and you don't even notice it, right? But certainly there have to have been some chittas that have fired because the neurons fired and they kicked off a process and something happened, right? I mean, is that right or is that wrong?
It seems to me from what I've read, the flashlight can only be shining in one point at one time.
Yeah, but that flashlight is spinning at such a high speed that it almost appears as if it's just illuminating the whole thing, right?
So it's like a magician